This is Shem. Today we're starting a new limud for all of us, including me. And this is Shem. We have started the Shemaya that the learning will be Shavu L'chol Nefesh. I think everyone should get out of it what they want to get out of it, what they should get out of it, and they should enjoy it. We have two plans in the general idea of learning over here. Is first, we want to finish the Masechta. And we also want to learn the sugya. A sugya, as one person asked me, are we learning sugyas? Well, we've chosen a Masechta called Baba Kama, where Baruch Hashem, Baba Kama is structured in a fashion where you don't need to jump. It's one big sugya, which has its compartments. There's a machlokas amaroim, whether Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra is three separate mesectas, or just one big mesecta that was split up into three parts. And the halacha is that it's one big mesecta, and it makes enough come in and how to pass them as well. That's how, once we define it as one big mesecta, it makes enough come in and how to pass them as well. We'll see whenever it comes available. We'll bring that up as well. So, Baba Kama is the first part, and the God of Baba Kama discusses a person's obligations through where he actually damaged somebody. Either he damaged somebody, or he actually has three parts to it. It has a part where he damaged somebody's property, where he's damaged somebody physically, or he has been involved in theft. That's the Baba Kama. And Baba Metzia is all to do with relationships due to contracts. What's the, how the relationships, contractual relationships, what's the halakhas that arise through contractual relationships, all these different discussions. Baba Basra is to do with property rights. So we're involved in Baba Kama. And on these three parts, there's three parts of the sector. The first parak to the sixth parak deals, in our first sugya, deals with a person who damages somebody's property. The second part, the seventh parak and the ninth and tenth parak deal with theft. The eighth parak deals with a person doing physical damage to somebody else. Why it's sandwiched in the middle like that, we'll discuss it when we get there. For the first chelik, we're discussing to the verse 6 parokim. First sugya is a person who damages somebody's property and the halachas that come out of that. Now, as we go along, this is shown, there will be built up certain inyonim which are not directly discussing on this topic. And we won't actually focus on those areas. We'll get just basic understanding on those particular periods. But there's always remising if it's not clear. There's always certain hints, even from those sugyas, what comes out into our big sugya, which is discussing a person's obligations in respect to damaging somebody's property. So the first question I want to ask before we see, before I ask the question, I want to lay out what's the plan that we're going to do in the opening few weeks. Because it's a new limit, we don't want to rush into something before somebody gets comfortable with the style and pace of where we're going to go. So even though it was advertised that we were going to do 4 shiurim a week and an omer every day, that's not how we're going to start initially, in order that people should get comfortable in what we're doing, and maybe we won't get there depending on how we're going to have a certain pace, of course. We're not going to have an old pace, but maybe the pace won't be that initial pace. We're going to start easy, slower than that. So for the following week, this is the Tochnit. Today, is an introductory shiur. We're going to analyze the Mishnah, and that will be the end of today's shiur after that analyzing the Mishnah. On Sunday, there will not be a shiur. You'll have time to inhale everything we learned over there until Monday. Monday we'll have the next year. That will be from the Gemara and after the Mishnah until basically the third to the third line of the next onwards. That's on Monday. There will be another share. Tuesday there will not be a share. On Wednesday and Thursday there will be a share. So next we're having three share instead of advertised four, just in order to get people comfortably into in being able to maintain all the information and the pace that we want to go to. There will be Mar Makomis for people who want to have Mar Makomis, want to work outside the shir. There will be Mar Makomis given out, and there will be opportunity on the Tuesday for people to themselves as a group come together and discuss any ideas of limudim or that they want to discuss in regard to the shir, the topics, and be able to get clarity together. That's optional, of course. There's also optional a halacha shir, which is I usually give on Monday morning on Choshen Mishpat. Now I'm going to concentrate on halacha shir on that Monday morning on Choshen Mishpat, and again, it's actually the limud that we just learned, what's relevant to shilas that come up, just relevant to what we just learned. That will be normally on Monday. This week, following next week, it will be on Tuesday instead of the Monday. It'll be Tuesday morning. That's also optional. Yes.
What time is it?
Well, that's like the normal Monday morning share, which would instead of be Tuesday next week, which would be 12:25. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying that. You know, you work, okay? So, it would be important on Tuesday. Next week there's no shit on Tuesday. Yeah, next week. So this happens to be good for you next week. Bye. Okay, fine. Okay. We'll work it out. So that's the plan, the initial plan. The following week, we'll see whether we can have four shirim, and we'll see how people are holding that stage. Okay, so let's start. Let's start with just a thought to think about, and then we'll start the Mishnah. We're going to talk about damages. Now, if you look at all the psukim, you can hand this out. Maybe there's not enough to go around, but let's see if there is. If not, then people who don't mind sharing can share. Maybe I can put this on the screen. I'm going to give you a screen to see with Joseph as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so if you look, wherever the Torah speaks about about damages in the Torah, it slices it in a fashion where something you don't expect would be is something missing. So I'll just go through the psukim quickly. Most of them are mishpatim. It talks about ki yigach shor ish. It talks about your ox damaging. It says, I'm going to read the whole pasuk. says at the end, the consequences is that he's going to have to pay. The consequences is if his ox damages, he's going to have to pay. It moves on and says if he opens a bar, a pit, that's dangerous and causes damages, the consequences is Baal HaBar Yishalem, he's going to have to pay. And further, if he has an ox that eats somebody's property or tramples somebody's property, what we call Shein V'Regel, the consequences, Yishalem is going to pay. And fervently, it says, when they say, hey, she creates a fire which gets out of control, then the consequences, Yishalem is going to have to pay. And even when it talks about him physically damaging property, Makir, for him, Yishalem, he hits somebody's property, hits somebody's animal and damages the animal, he says that Mother Odom Yodos, okay, he has to pay, he doesn't get killed, but he has to pay. Yishalem, he has to pay. Now, the question which all our Quran ask, nowhere in the Torah it says it's awesome to damage. Because it says to Dibus, and we've got other Isurim, Lo Signov, Lo Titzach, you're not allowed to kill, you're not allowed to steal. Yeah, there's Sachmot, not allowed to have covet. But never in the Torah it says you're not allowed to damage. Is there any Issa in damaging? Bechal. Is there Bechal and Issa in damaging? Maybe I can lachachila go ahead to somebody and say, look, don't worry, I'll damage the property, I'll pay. Is there anything that prevents me in the Torah that says you're not allowed to damage? There's nothing written on that. So that is a basic question, what we call a klalistika question, which when we go through the Gemaras, maybe we have certain rise, is there any prohibition? Or is there no prohibition in actually causing damage? Okay. Yeah. You mentioned that maybe there's a hafta l'recha kamoka. Okay. So then the Achronim do the Rishonim, even the Rishonim say certain things like this, like Yad Ramad says there's an Issa Lifnei Iver, it's included in Lifnei Iver, there's it's a Mikshal, you can't stumble somebody, so that culturally you can't break his, can't stumble him that he should break his leg, or you can put something in his path that he should break his leg, so culturally you can't break his leg, yeah? So it's obviously included in Lifnei Iver. After Akhbarot. But still the question is brought. A general question is, okay, maybe it comes out of the Av Isurim, like Lifnei Iver, putting a stumbling block, or after Akhbarot, yeah, but any day is not written for Pharaohs. It says don't steal. So why doesn't it say don't damage? So why does it say don't steal? It's also logical. What's the difference between stealing and damaging? Okay, so that's a broad question. What we call that something that he needs clarity to think about, so maybe we'll discover. Okay, so let's start. So what about the last one? Maka Behema Ishamenu, when he hits a behemoth, somebody's property, he physically goes ahead and hits somebody's property, he has to pay. He's talking about even Adam Mazik, we call Adam Mazik, but he physically damages, not his property damages property. So, it something needs clarity. Why was it not advert? Why did the Torah never write an Issa, the famous, on it, not to damage? So, let's first read the Mishnah, go through the whole Mishnah, just posh it, the Shat, of translation, and then we'll analyze it for Rashi. It says, Abar Obas Nezikim. There are four classic Nezikim. I'm not going to explain what Obas means. Rashi is going to explain that. After we read the Mishnah, we're going to go through it with Rashi. Four classic Nezikim. Hasha, the ox, Abar, the pit, Mother. No one really understands, or there's a machlokus in the Gemara, what that means. Behizim and fire. Lo hari asor kahari amavet. Now, if you would just write shor, you would not be able to say that just because shor, your property called the shor, damages, it doesn't prove, if you just have that in the Torah, you wouldn't be able to know kahari amavet. It wouldn't have the kulas, the leniencies of mavet, whatever that is. And therefore, writing the Torah, Shah has to pay, your ox damages has to pay, will not alter that need to deduce that Mabe, whatever that is, will have to pay. Because Shah has chumras. And who says if Mabe, which is more makel, who says you would have to pay under those circumstances? Velo Hari and Mabe Kari Shah, and if you just write the Torah, the Mabe. Mabe has also certain chumras, stringencies, which Shah does not have. And therefore, if you just write Mabe in the Torah, you wouldn't be able to know that Shah, if it, your ox damages, you would have to pay. And none of these three, none of these two, sorry, of Shah and Mabe, who both have Ruachayim. Both have Ruachayim. What does Ruachayim mean? Both have a certain life to them. So that gives us a clue what Mavi is. It's something alive. None of these, Shah, which has got a living item, Mavi has is also living. Yeah, Lo Zeh Zeh Sheish Ruachayim, none of these two. Kahari Eish, it's not like fire, which doesn't have its own life force. Yeah, that's good words. She'ebahim ruchayim. And therefore, if you would not write Eish in the Torah, and you just write Shah is chayv to pay, if your ox is have to pay, Mavi you have to pay, I wouldn't necessarily know that if your fire causes damages, you have to pay. And below Zeh, Zeh, Shazak, and Leila, Lachasi, Karibam, and none of these three of Shah, Mavi, and Fire, all of them move and they actually damage in a different place. They move along. Fire also travels. And therefore, if you write those that they have to pay, I wouldn't necessarily know that you have to pay Karibam, Layakbam. A pit, you dig a hole, it's not going to move. How does anyone get damaged by pits? Not that the pit jumps on somebody, but the person falls into the pit. So maybe you only have to pay if you have something which moves and actually does an active damage, not a passive damage. Maybe you only have to pay if you're actively damaging something, not passively damaging. So if you don't write bar, I wouldn't know that. That if you dig a hole and something falls out, I would know you have to pay. Hasad Shavuot, but now you've written all of them. Hasad Shavuot, I can learn a general rule when you are mechuyev to pay. What's the general rule? Shadak and Le'ehazik b'shmir solechem. The items which are normal to cause damage. And it's something which you're obligated to look after. If it's that scenario and it causes damage, you're obligated, the mazik is obligated to shalem, to pay. Tashlume nezek, the compensation for the damage. The native oretz, using the best quality of his land as payment. That is just pure translation of the Mishnah. Now we're going to go back and analyze a bit what the Mishnah is, what we have issues, maybe, in the Mishnah itself, which the Gemara itself doesn't ask. We're not going to ask questions which the Gemara. See, the Mishnah is a pirush on the Torah, and the Gemara is a pirush on the Mishnah. We're going to ask questions on the Mishnah, which the Gemara didn't explain to us. and we need to get clarity on them. Arba Ovas Nesikim. There are four classic damages, damaging items. Why are they called Ovas? So Rashi says, Ovas Kori Lahanach Tegsivim Bekram. You call something the classic because that's what's actually written in the Torah. What's written in the Torah is called Ovas. Bad. A Gemara for us, hiding the Todos, and the Gemara explains to us what are the derivatives. Derivatives are things which are not what's written in the Torah, but the Gemara says, because it, you told me that Shar is Chayiv, I can deduce another case, which is not exactly that Shar, but similar enough to come on this category to also be obligated, that's called Tolls. Tolls is a derivative of working out a new case from what's actually written in the Torah. Classic case is what's written in the Torah. Tolls are what you work out what's written in the Torah. Yes, I'm not sure. Okay, good question. When we get to Monday's Shevich to Gemara, we'll tackle that question. Now, okay, so how the Gemara, so therefore Rashi told us, the Mishnah is telling us there's four of us, and what's of us? The ones that are written in the Torah. Now look at your paper that I gave out. How many are written in the Torah? Well, there's Shah. What's Shah? Well, the first one, we'll go in order. The first one is what we call Kedem. Ki yigach shah es ish or es isha. A gauze. Gauze, a person. Your ox gauze a person with what? With his horn. That's called Kedem. That's the first one. Second one. Ki yivtach ish ba or ki yichre ish ba. A person makes a hole and somebody gets damaged by falling in. Okay, that's number two. Then it says, Kiyiva is Soda Oken. Veshilech is Biro. He consumes somebody's Kerem. How does he do that? By Veshilech. That's by shame. Well, he saw that the ox eats somebody's field. And in the same passage, it says, Ubirva Soda. Or, your ox Birva Soda. Or he tramples the field. So it says in that passage too. Says the ox eating and the ox trampling. So now we've got four. We should really stop there because that's four. But we go on. And it says another passage. He say eight. Fire goes out, consumes somebody's field, and you have to pay. That's five. And then we've got Maka Behemah Yishamani. When a person physically damages somebody's property with his own hands, he has to pay. That's six. So what's going on? Rashi told us that Peshat in the Mishnah, that there are four of us, means there's only four psukim in the Torah, which tells us that if you cause damage on somebody's property, you have to pay. I look at the Torah and I count, there's six. The numbers don't add up. Is it four or six? What Mishnah seems to be saying four. I look at the Torah, it should be six. In fact, we'll get to Daf Gimel and Rav and Shmuel. If you look on the first page I gave you over there, on the right hand side. If you look on the right hand side, there is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What the Mishnah means. Rav says, when it says Shah, it means all the damage which the Shah does. Now the damage can, the Shah ox can do three damages. It can use his horns, which is called goring, which is keren. It can eat, consume something which is called shame. And it can cause damage by trampling on something which is called regal. Shah in the Mishnah, when it's mentioned, means all three. And Bar, we know what Bar is. Mavi actually means, according to Rav, Mavi means a person doing physical damage. Yeah. We'll discuss why he's called Mavi. Him is fine. So according to Rav, it's actually written in the Mishnah 6. It says use Shah as a name, a general one. So what? Why is it saying Abba? If it's actually listing six, why is it saying four? So now we've got a very strong question. It's actually written in the Mishnah, according to Rav, six, and it's saying it's four. Why? According to Shmuel, maybe it's slightly better, but not much better. Shmuel says, Shah in the Mishnah means the damage which your ox does by trampling on it. Trampling on somebody's. That's it. Amava means the damage which the ox does by eating. And we don't have in the Mishnah, we do not have listed in the Mishnah, Kerem, ox goring, we don't have that in the Mishnah. And we don't have in the Mishnah a man doing physical damage. So, in fact, according to Shmuel, in the Mishnah is listed only four, because we're missing two. But, we still have a question. Okay, according to Shmuel, if the figures make sense, there's only four of us listed. But why does the Mishnah only list four, if there's really six? There's really another two. Okay, so that's our first question. Let's carry on the Mishnah. Arba Ovas Nizikin. What does the word Nizikin translate as? Damaged. So what should it say? Mazik. So the Rishonim asks, and the Shita Mikabet says, the Mishnah is not speaking correctly. It should be Arba Ovas Mazikin. Not Nezikin, which get damaged. And you carry on, you talk about the Mazik, not Nezik. So what happens? You're translating wrong? So I'll read out.
The recipient, not the one
doing. So, related to the question of why it is not the officer of the third. So, I'll read out what one of the answers in the Shitta says, and let's try and see what he means. Shitta Rogetsa says like this, in the name of the Me'iri, Milas Nezikim. Amul ala nezik bloshum remez ala mazik. Ve'elu call them hey mazikim. All of them are mazikim. Not nizokim, not being damaged. They're not damaging, they're being damaged. They're damaging, not being damaged. Nizokim. You know why it said nizikim? I didn't say mazikim. Shesh fe remez ala mazik. Because it wants to give a remez. Why? What do you mean remez? Well, it's also not really true to say nezikin either. You should really say, if you're talking about the one damage, you should really write the word the zokin without the yud. You put an extra yud after the zion. It's also not grammatically correct. Even that's not grammatically correct. Even the one gained damage should not have this extra yud after the zokin. You should have not nezikin. So why does it write Nezikin? And even Nezikin is not really written in the proper way. So he says he wants to give a remez ala mazik. Because the Tana wants to give you the mazik, but only mention the mazik, but only the derech remez. Not directly. Ta'a Meshra, what does it really mean? It's like, that's his name. It's like, if you see a group of Nazirs around, how do you describe them? You say, oh, the Nazirim. If you see a group of Nevi'im around, how do you say them? Oh, they're Nevi'im. So if you have a Mazik around, or a group of Maziks around, their name is Nezikim. That's their name. Yeah. Their name is Nezikim. That's their category. They're Nezikim. Yeah. Because they're not really, because it's not talking about damaged. Because it's not spelling it correctly. So why is he wrote in this fashion? Because he wants to give you the name of the, what's this people, the four group together, the group, they're called Nezikim. That's their name. Nezikim, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nezikim, yes. That's a masculine feminine, yeah. So, like you say, it's a bit, the teretz is a bit of a remiss. What does he mean in his teretz? He notices the question, saying the wrong words. What does it mean? He points out that it doesn't mean being damaged, because it's also spelled wrongly. But then he gives the answer that it's a group name. It's a group name, okay? What is this group name? Why is the Talmud giving it a group name? Why does it be straight? For Mazikin. Okay, so that's our third question. Let's carry on. The Mishnah says, Shah, Ox, Bar, Hol, Marvin, okay, the Hivit, Marvin, we said it's a machlokas, what it means. It means the ox that eats, or it means the person who damages. Viv and fire. Now why did it write it in this order? Says Rashi. Hashar Baba. Kasevzai Kusuvim Babasa Susan Bamishna. The way that is written, the order that's written in the Torah is how it's written in the Mishnah. Pastor Shonanema Bashar, the first one that's written in the Torah is Shah, so it's written Shah in the Mishnah. Shnia, the second one in the Torah is Pit, so therefore Bar, so it's also written Bar in the Mishnah second. Okay. So Tosas asks an obvious question. Look at the Torah, look at the paper I gave you, and see if it's correct. If you go down, you see, you go to here, you say, well, the first one is Shah, but which of the Shah is it talking about? It's talking about, the first one in the Torah written is talking about goring with his horn. Is that written in the Mishnah? Well, according to Shmuel, it's not written in the Mishnah at all. Shmuel says that's not the Shah that's in the Mishnah. Shah in the Mishnah is not the one with the horn. Okay, so which one is Shmuel saying Shah? Well, Shah says actually it's talking about Regel. Oh, okay. So what, according to Shmuel, what's the first one in the Mishnah, first one in the Torah that he's been mentioned in the Mishnah, is really Bar. Bar, which is imposter, Lama Gimel, Lama Dalit. That's mentioned, according to Shmuel, first. And only then, imposter, Imper, Chof Beis, Posuk, Pek, Lama Beis, or whatever, Posuk, Dalit, that's later. That's close to this. Yeah. Lo Avik say the show. Dafkan on Mishalech is pure. It's written afterwards. It's the wrong author. It's the wrong author. According to Shmuel, it's not the author of the Pasuk. Okay. So according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is not written according to how the Torah wrote it. So maybe Rashi is only in reference to Rav, maybe he's only choosing Rav. And according to Rav, everything's okay. Shah is the general name for everything. Fine. But we've got a problem with Rav. Why? Because Rav says that the third one, Mazik, in the Mishnah, is Odom HaMazik. It's probably physically damaging somebody's property. That Pasuk, if you look on our list, is the last one. It's number six. It's in Vayikra, it's not even responsible. So Tosis says, I've got a problem with Rashi. Rashi says the Mishnah's writing according to how it's written in the Torah, according to its chronological order, is not when you learn like Rav or learn like Shmuel what the words of the Mishnah mean, is not the right order. So, Tosis, what did Tosis answer? Tosis says, well, you know what, even though that Shmuel's talking about, Shah, that he's talking about, which is trampling, which is regal, is really after the pit, but since the Shah of the ox goring is written first, that's good enough. Why is it good enough? If you say the Mishnah, it says Shah, it's not talking about the horn, it's talking, not talking about boring, talking about trampling, and that's really after the pit. So why are you saying it's good enough? Well, I put it first because in reference to Shah with the horn, it's in the, that actually is number one in the positive. Yeah, but the whole Mishnah is not talking about that. The order's wrong. That's another question we have. Then the Mishnah carries on and says, Lo zem shadak. So he says the general rule that we see that you're five is as if it's something which normally damages and you have obligation to look after it. So there's a general, and here we're going to finish because we're running out of time. So we're going to finish with this last statement. Here's a general discussion amongst our Chodim. Why are you chayv to pay at the end of the day? Are you chayv to pay because you're mechuyev to look after it, and because you were negligent and didn't look after it? You have to pay because of your negligence of not looking after it. Or you must to pay because it's your money. You're the owner. It's your property. Your property damages. It's like you damaging. You have to pay. Your property is you. You are your property. And therefore, your property damages, you have to pay. Just if you look after it, you can avoid paying. What's the nafgamina? Just because you have to think about a nafgamina is what happens. You didn't look after it, but somebody did a favor for you without your knowledge and looked after it, and it still caused damage. Are you obligated to pay or not? If you say, because you didn't look after it, then it wasn't looked after properly. Well, it's not here. It wasn't looked after properly. We had it there. He looked after it. It was looked after properly. It's just still damaged. Okay. It's like an owner's type of situation. But if you say that it's because his money damages, that's why he has to pay. He can release himself from the obligation by looking after it. Well, here he didn't look after it. At the end of the day, his money damaged. He didn't look after it. He didn't appoint someone to look after it. So he's going to have to pay on this. So that is something we have to discover as we go through the Gemaras, whether what is the obligation. This is Shabbo again, meat on the table.